Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, our first reading. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Alleluia. Last Sunday, we focused on the church here on earth. We call it the church militant, the church under attack, the church opposed, the church at war. But what kind of war is it? The fight that the church is in here on earth isn't a fight against flesh and blood. Our primary enemies aren't other people. They aren't the government. They aren't our culture. Our enemies are the devil and the spiritual forces of darkness and sin, especially in ourselves, and death. But by the looks of it, things haven't gone so well for the church militant. When we look at the church here on earth, we can't say that we have definitively or finally won. We're still in the thick of it. The battle rages. There's no victory parade here, no glorious triumph for the church on earth. And sure, things may be okay, going okay for the church here in our corner, at least right now. But many brothers and sisters in Christ elsewhere are suffering deeply. And yet today, we celebrate All Saints' Day. Today, we turn our focus to the church in heaven, which we call the church triumphant. The church no longer under attack, but victorious. But what kind of triumph is this? What does the church today have to rejoice in and to celebrate over? Because from our viewpoint here on earth, the church militant doesn't win. No, the church loses again and again and again. The church on earth suffers. And you know it just as well as I do. The church on earth is rocked with scandals, and it is beset with weaknesses. It is undermined by false teachers and too often afflicted by a lukewarm and a lazy faith. Some fall away. Others are persecuted for Christ. All of us have times when we would rather stay silent than confess our Lord. And speaking for myself, I can't declare final victory over my sin. The struggle against sin in my life is a daily struggle, not always successful, and it will remain that way until I die. And then that's how it ends. Death. Every single member of the church militant ends up dead and in the grave. So, like I said, what do we have to be so triumphant about? When the field of battle is littered with bodies, with the loss of so many whom we'll name today before our altar, how is that a victory? And then there are the martyrs, those who were reviled, persecuted, and had all kinds of evil things uttered against them falsely for Christ's sake. What kind of triumph is it to have your head taken off and put on a platter, like St. John the Baptizer? Or to be tortured, suffer mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment, to be stoned like St. Stephen, sawn in two like Isaiah, and killed with the sword like St. James the Apostle. Hebrews describes the saints as destitute, afflicted, mistreated, and those who go wandering about, which doesn't sound to me like much of a triumph. And according to tradition, St. Peter was crucified on a cross upside down, and a couple of decades later, St. Ignatius of Antioch was thrown to the beasts, and shortly after that, Polycarp of Smyrna was burned at the stake and pierced with a spear. He was 86 years old. Makes me think of the priest in France. When was it? Just a couple of years ago, who was killed while saying Mass in the church in France. And yet, despite all the suffering and sorrow that we see here, especially as Christians, despite all the losses, the attacks and setbacks and apparent defeats, our Lord gave St. John that vision that we heard in our first reading, that vision of the church triumphant, not defeated, but victorious. I looked, St. John writes, and behold, a great multitude of people that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, not dead, but totally alive, and standing on their feet before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in the armor of white robes, with palm branches of victory in their hands, and crying out triumphantly with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." In heaven, the church is triumphant, and those who die in Christ are not dead or lost or defeated. They are alive and safe and victorious. But notice this about the triumph of the church in heaven. The triumph of the church triumphant isn't in the saints themselves. It isn't in their living or dying. It's not in their good works, although those were many. It's not in the holiness of their lives, though we should imitate them. Instead, as the elder who addressed John said, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I kind of get the feeling that as John looks at that great host in heaven, he's not quite sure who they are. He could tell that they were from all times and all places where the gospel has been and is and will be preached, but he didn't exactly recognize them. In heaven, they didn't look like they looked on earth. They didn't look like they were suffering. They didn't look weak. They didn't look like they were dying. They didn't look sinful. St. John the Baptist's head was no longer on a platter, but it was on his shoulders again. Could these really be the Christians that John had known? The ones who argued with him about who would sit at Jesus' right and Jesus' left in glory? The ones who ran away scared when our Lord was arrested? Could these really be those? Were these really the people with whom he prayed and sung the liturgy and heard God's word, the ones who kneeled beside him to receive Christ's body and blood? Because they don't look quite like they looked here. "Sir, you know," he says, "you know who these are." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That, dear friends, is where we find the church's triumph, in the blood of the Lamb. In the blood of the Lamb, shed on that cross on Mount Calvary for your sins and mine. In the blood of that Lamb that rose from the dead on the third day to give us life, there is the triumph of the saints and the martyrs who've gone before us. There is the triumph of those that we love who died in Christ. There is the triumph of all who've been persecuted for Christ. And there is our triumph too, as we cling to Christ, as we fight against sin, as we rage against death and the devil. And you know, in that great multitude gathered there, all their eyes were turned in one direction. They were all facing the Lamb. They were all looking at him. All of their mouths were open to sing his praise. "Salvation belongs to our God." and to the Lamb. When we look at our lives here, we do not see the triumph. But when we look to the blood of the Lamb, there we find the triumph of the church. In our Lord's innocent suffering and death, in his holy and precious blood, in his glorious resurrection from the dead, because the Lamb who was slain is standing. He is not dead, but he is risen, and he is totally alive, and he gives life to you. And no one can snatch this triumph away from us. No one can reverse history and put our Lord back up on the cross and then take him down and move back to Bethlehem, where he was born, and make him never having died for us and never having become incarnate for us. No one can take that away. It is done, and it is finished, and it is complete. No one can snatch the triumph away from us, because no one can take you out of his pierced hands. His blood was shed for you, and his blood has covered you in your baptism, so that you, like the saints in heaven, are washed white in the blood of the Lamb. And his blood is given to you in this holy communion, placed into your mouth, so that you are white, washed clean in his blood, your sins all forgiven, and you have communion with that Lamb and with all those saints in heaven. In the blood of the Lamb, the church triumphs, for by his blood, he has won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. And now I ask you, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, even great tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, Lord, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In all these things, we are triumphant through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can take this triumph away. And true, we don't see the triumph yet. We don't see the saints clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands singing their magnificent cry. But this triumph that is theirs is also yours in Christ. And you have it even now by faith. You have this triumph in him and in his word preached to you and in his sacraments given to you. So that what we will be, we do not yet see. This is how St. John puts it in his letter. We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. When he comes triumphant and victorious on the clouds, we will triumph with him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the triumph of the Lord, the triumph in his blood, is the triumph of his saints. And it is your triumph too. And that's why we gather today here before the throne of our God. It's why we serve him day and night. It's why he sits on the throne. He shelters us with his presence. And we know that the promise that was spoken of them above is also given to us. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, is our shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. He will guide you to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes and from your eyes. I know the fight is long. I know the warfare is hard. I know we suffer so many losses and defeats in our own lives and our own church family. But the church is triumphant in Christ. It has not lost. It is not defeated. And the day is coming soon when we will see the triumph with our own eyes. So hold fast, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Hold fast to Him until that glorious morn appears. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.